Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/campfire. That's audible.com/campfire. Thanks, Audible. The Campfire is also brought to you by my Paranormal Plus Club, and we have our big Black Friday sale coming up. Stay tuned for details.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the Campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. Oh, we're right in the midst of the holidays coming up, and Thanksgiving, and just a fun time of year. I really love this time of year, and we're here in northeastern Ohio. The weather is just starting to break, and we're going to have some snow, that four-letter word, coming up in the next few days. So here we are. It's the holiday time, and when it starts to get nippy and cool and there's a chill in the air, there's nothing like a great campfire, and that's what we have for you tonight. Here they are, some great campfire stories. Next up on the campfire is Babs from Montana, and I can tell you something. This story is chilling. That's all I'm going to tell you, because I don't want to ruin it. This one's going to stick with you. Babs, welcome to the program. I know you're a new listener, and thank you for joining us as a listener and as a storyteller, and tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. Yes, this is back in the early 2000s. I was working at Bozeman Deaconess Hospital as a respiratory therapist and an intraoperative neurodiagnostician, so I had to be in surgery extra early that day. Anyway, it was a bad storm. It was the worst storm I've ever seen here in Montana. And so I was going really, really slow. And it's a 35-mile drive for me. So, gosh, I bet you I was there about 5:30 a.m. just driving, and I was going so slow because I just wanted to turn around, but I couldn't even find an exit to turn around at. So what happened then is I was white knuckling it, and right before I got to the Manhattan exit, it kind of had the little right jaunt. I saw a young man standing there, and when I say young man, like 16, 18. And I thought, what in the heck is he, anybody doing out here? I thought, obviously he's in distress or something's wrong. But he wasn't dressed for 20 below zero. And there was the deep, deep snow. And I was sure he was needing some help, but he was not in any visible distress. So I thought that was strange. And I couldn't pull over because I wouldn't be able to get back on the road if I could even find my way off. The reason why I say that is because here in Montana, when it's that snowy and you can't see much, like even the road, if you're on or off, you just go to the right, you hit the rumble strip, you know you're on. Go to the left, you know you're still on the road. So that's how I knew I was still on the road, but I didn't think I'd be able to get back on. So my ex-husband, he's a deputy sheriff there in Gallatin County. He works graves, and I called him. I said, hey, I just saw a kid just off the side of the interstate by on the Manhattan exit. Could you guys stop on your way and take a peek and look around, see if you can find him? Because I would call in the sheriff's office and report, like, motor vehicle accidents or somebody in distress. And he said, sure thing. So anyway, put it in the back of my mind. I went to work, did my 12-hour shift, and that night when I got home, I asked Paul, I said, hey, did you happen to find anything out there? He says, you know, I called two units out, two highway patrols. We all went through there. There's one, no skids, no slides, no footmarks. There was nothing. And I thought, oh, well, maybe somebody picked him up. So anyway, time goes by, a couple months, 6 months. I'm not sure what the time frame was, but I was changing my bird cage. Paul would pick up old newspapers at the sheriff's office, and I would just get those and put them in the bottom of our bird cage. Anyway, so we had quite a surplus of these old newspapers. So I was just cleaning out the cage, and then I looked, and there's that kid. He had been dead for over a year.
Whoa.
And same with Matthew. He was from actually it's called Silver Bow County, which is Butte, Montana. And he was 18 years old. And apparently what had happened to him is he was driving to work really, really early, about 5 a.m. And he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, fell asleep. And he went off the side of the road slightly. He woke up startled and flipped his car, and he was ejected out. Anyway, I was like, holy God. I mean, I was so panicked, freaked. I could not believe it. And holy hell. Anyway, excuse my language, but
I think I would say that. I think I might say worse than that.
Oh, I was so scared. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, you know, about a couple months go by, and some of those highway patrolmen are our friends, all law enforcement. It's kind of a tight-knit community. His name was Jason Hoppert. We just called him Hoppy. He was going over to Afghanistan. So we were having a farewell party at some bar just below Bozeman Deaconess Hospital. And so I go there, and I see a nurse I know, Star, she's an ICU nurse, and her new boyfriend is a new to me highway patrolman. I've never met him, but he was really nice, and we were just talking, and I happened to mention what I just told you about this Matthew from Silver Bow County. And the guy says, the highway patrolman says, you know, I remember that one so well because that was my first fatal, and it was a bad one. And I said, oh, yeah, just blah, blah, I can't believe it. You know, I thought he would think I was crazy, but he says, you know, that whole thing was really strange. He says, it wouldn't have been so bad. He said, but after the Matthew was ejected, the car behind him never stopped or pulled over and ran him over. And he said he was really, really in bad condition, his body was. And then he says, well, I think he would have lived had the car behind him not ran him over. And I said, well, how do you know somebody ran him over? He says, well, for one thing, somebody on the other side of the interstate saw it because it was by, like I said, that exit by Manhattan, and there was some lighting up top. Anyway, and then he says, well, and also when we found his body in its condition, there was also a part of another vehicle with his blood on it.
Sam.
Yeah, yeah. So I just thought, well, maybe he was unfinished business. You know, that's a horrible thing, somebody running over
a human being. I mean, it's a scary story, but it's also a very sad story. Young person, you know, and just, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can remember plenty of times when I've been driving where I felt like the eyelids getting heavy and, you know, except for the grace of God, there go I kind of thing, because that could happen to anybody at any time.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Wow. Wow, what a story. Well, I'll tell you, you may be a new listener, but you brought a great story to the table. Babs, thank you so much for listening. I'm glad you enjoy the show. You're enjoying the back catalog, and thank you for sharing it on the campfire today.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to share. Thank you so much.
Well, next up on the campfire, we have an honest-to-goodness celebrity. We have Sarah. She is a celebrity chef, and she'll tell you where you can tune into her and check out her website after her call. But she also happens, and she's been a longtime supporter, and we very much appreciate it, plus club member, the whole ball of wax. So we appreciate all of that. But she also is bringing to the table, no pun intended, a fantastic ghost story and photographic proof, which you'll be able to go see over at the virtual campfire group on Facebook. So I'm just going to, Sarah, tell them that you moved into a new house. Everything was normal for a while, and then things started to get weird. Things started to happen, and you got the proof. And tell us what happened.
Okay, Jim. Well, first of all, thanks. I don't really consider myself as big of a celebrity as you, Mr. 700,000 Halloween downloads, was it?
In October, we had 700,000 downloads. Yes, true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. So I've been listening forever. I have had things happen to me in my life, but never like this. I just love listening to the podcast because it gives me something to do while I'm working. And so basically the story begins when we moved home to Denton, Texas from Houston. I was writing a book and we were living out there alone. We had little kids. And so we really needed to come home to where our whole family was, our support system. And we decided to rent a house because we weren't sure where in the community we wanted to live. Dallas-Fort Worth has changed a whole lot. So we found this house and we moved in, and really nothing weird happened. I mean, probably like a lot of your listeners, I can go in someplace and tell you if it gives me the creeps.
Right.
This house was so just clear as a bell and clean, and I just loved it. Mm-hmm. And so nothing happened for a long time. And then I was writing my book. My kids go to a little daycare. And during the day, I would start having the doorbell ring. And I would run to the doorbell very quickly because I'd be, you know, writing there in the living room or something. And there would be no one there. And I can see, you know, almost 180 degrees from my house because we live on the corner of a cul-de-sac. And it was also during school year. So, you know, there couldn't be really any little kids running up to the door or anything. So this continued for a little while. And I thought, you know, anything, you dismiss these things by saying, oh, it was, you know, the cable guy or the water man.
Right. You try to explain it away.
Of course. Of course. That's what everyone does. And so then I came home one night. You have to understand, my husband's the most analytical, data-driven man ever. And I walk in our bedroom, and there's a gun sitting out on the side table, which if you knew me, I like, you know how I am about my kids. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, we have children. Why is these guns out? And
right.
He said, the kids are asleep. He said, I put the kids to sleep and I was in the living room doing laundry. I heard a door open and close. I know I heard it. And I just kind of looked at him because I had been sharing with him the other things that were going on in the house. And to get him that rattled to get out a gun would take a lot. And he literally thought that there was, you know, someone in the home with him. So there wasn't. We searched everywhere, put the gun away. And then, you know, there was some space. These things would happen spaced out. And I guess the scariest thing that really set me off was I'm a mom. And I have a 4-year-old. He was 3 at the time. I woke up one morning and he wanted me to come get in bed with him. And he has a little bed in his room. So, you know, we're all cozy. And I crawl up there and put the blankets over us. And I'm trying to go back to sleep.
Right.
And he looks up right in the doorway and he points to it and he goes, Mommy, who is that?
Ooh.
And there was no one there. And I remember thinking to myself, because, you know, I listen to the podcast all the time. I was like, oh, God, I'm living in one of Jim Harold's stories right now. and so I, you know, popped up real quick. Oh, let's make some espresso. Let's get the heck out of here. And you know, my kid just kind of looked in the doorway. I felt like he could really see something. And that was what, you know, startled me. So I think it was that day, and my other son, Gabriel, had been telling me that the doorknobs would turn at night and some other things that I was hoping was just a little kid talking, but, you know, you never really know. There had been one night when I woke up, you know, and I kind of, you know, you look around your room in the darkness and there's nothing there. So you lay back down and you kind of try to go back to sleep, and I just had this creepy feeling, just this feeling. And then all of a sudden from my son's room, I heard him scream, and he just came running into our room. And, you know, with these things, you never know what he saw. You don't, they're little, they can't really explain it to you, but it was so weird because I had already been up and laying there, you know,
right,
feeling a presence or just something. So I finally feel like I'm going to go talk to my neighbor. And we know we're acquaintances, you know, moving towards good friends, but we're not best friends or anything like that. So I felt a little uncomfortable, you know, saying, hey, is this house haunted? But I did. I texted her and I just said, Shelby, I said, some things have been happening in the house. I know you knew the people that lived here before. is there anything weird going on with this house? Did anything weird ever happen here? And she immediately texts back and she says, why would you ask me that? And I said, there's just some things, you know, and she said, come over right now. Come over right now. She lives three houses down. So I, you know, run over and she goes, what happened? And I just kind of went through a couple things. And she said, well, no, she said, I know the couple that lived there before you. And they'd never experienced anything. She's like, they're the most normal family in the world. And she was best friends with that woman. So I think that the lady probably would have confided to her if something was going on. But she did say, and they built the home. So, you know, I don't know about the land. But she did say, she said, you have to see this photo that the other neighbor just texted me. And I was like, okay. And she said, now, before I show it to you, she said, let me tell you the story. And she said, he lives, you know, in our neighborhood, but he's, you know, half a mile or a mile over.
Right.
And she said, the photo that you're about to see is of his backyard. And he has an alarm system set up where if something moves in the backyard, it will take a photo and it will email it to him at work or, you know, wherever. And the man had not even been home yet. His name's Mike. I'll stop calling him the man. Mike hadn't even been home yet. He works a professional job, and he had just been sent this picture from his security box, whatever. And so, you know, I guess we're going to post the picture in the
virtual campfire group, yeah.
Virtual campfire, the Facebook. But you see the yard man entering the backyard, and, you know, he's a gardener or something. He's about to go about his business. And you can see a gate that's sort of like one of those bar gates. It's not a wooden gate or anything like that. You can see through it. And there's a child standing there, what it looks like. At first, I thought it was a pilgrim. It looks like the child is wearing this outfit or something. I mean, as soon as you see it, you're horrified, right? Because you know what you're looking at and you know that the man can't see it. There's also a little wagon of toys. So it kind of looks maybe like the little ghost child is like looking at that wagon full of toys. But I did do some research. And so I think we had, you know, your virtual Halloween party, I'd shared the story.
Yes.
And I got to contact the senior researcher at our local library, because mm-hmm. Denton is a historic town, so we have like a huge historical, you know, center here. And I said, hey, you know, I'm an author, so she knows me. And I said, I know that you've done books with authors in the area about the folklore, and this happened, and, you know, can you give me any feedback? And she said, you live in Denton, but that used to be the territory of Old Alton. And there's a bridge over here that's, you know, semi-famous, the Goatman's Bridge, that's mm-hmm. in every, you know, small country or small county. She said, but that doesn't look like pilgrim garb to me. That actually looks like burial garb. She said that's what they would be buried in. Right. Which makes sense, you know, because I know the history of the area. And I thought, why in the world am I seeing this? But so I don't know. After that, we didn't ever really, I wanted to go over there. I wanted Shelby to take me. And she said, no, she said that man's property backs up to a ranch, and, the tree line is right there. You can see it, but there's also barbed wire. Mike said, wherever the child would be standing, you can't see it, but there's actually a barbed wire fence. And, there's a couple small ponds on that property, but we, you know, we never really got to find out what it was. The gentleman whose backyard backs up to this is not interested in this at all. You know, he's one of those professional types, so he didn't really want to, you know, be sharing the story all over. He's not like us, I guess, is what I'm saying. So we didn't go ghost hunting or anything, which was a shame, but it happens, and I really wanted to share it with the campfire.
That is such a wild story. Now, we're going to probably be releasing this the evening of Thursday, November 17th. And once I put this podcast up, I am going to let Sarah know. And she's been very kind to offer to repost that picture to the virtual campfire book over at Facebook. So if you're not a member of that, it's absolutely free. Check out Jim Harold's virtual campfire. Just type that in over on Facebook and you'll be able to see Sarah's picture. And Sarah, that is a great story. And I love the fact that you've got the backup and then you got the further backup with the historian and talking about the burial garb. That is really, really something else. I absolutely love it. And I want to mention, you mentioned you're an author, you're a chef, you're a TV personality, you've got a new website. So since you're here, why don't you just tell us where we can tune in to everything that you do?
Oh, that's sweet. My name is Sarah Penrod. So you can, you know, Google me and find out stuff. But my website is urbancowgirllife.com. And I'm a Texas chef. I write about Texas. I have an enormous cookbook coming out. So we all like food. And you can research me you can contact me through the website. Definitely. Excellent. Yeah.
Well, you've given us a good story to chew on. How about that?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Audible. Now, if you've listened to me any time at all, you know I absolutely love Audible because they have an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, comedy, and so much more. You know, audiobooks are a great thing to listen to when maybe you're doing things that you don't like so much, whether it's soon to be shoveling snow in the northern climates like mine. Maybe you're stuck in traffic on the subway or bus doing chores around the house, working out. Some people love to work out. Some people not so much, but this is a great distraction. Whatever it is, Audible is fantastic. They're always getting better. Their selection is always increasing. Their app is always getting better. It's just so, so great. I love it. And if you haven't tried it, I think it's high time. We're headed into the Thanksgiving season. I think that with a long weekend, why not avoid the crowds and enjoy some great audio entertainment? So here, I've got something for you. Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial to our listeners. Now, you go to audible.com/campfire. That's audible.com/campfire and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. Download a title free and start listening. It's just that easy. And I know many of you out there, a lot of Harry Potter fans, and I was just looking at some of the bestsellers and still, even though it's, you know, several years old, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, book one, still available over at Audible. And the Harry Potter books, you may consider any of them and certainly take advantage of this free offer. And, you know, those are big books. So you're getting a lot of content for free. So think about it. I think you'd really enjoy it. And again, what a great time of year to settle down with a good book and have somebody, a professional narrator, read it to you. How cool is that? So get your free audiobook with a 30-day free trial at audible.com/campfire. That's audible.com/campfire. We appreciate them. They've been great to us. Thanks, Audible. Alicia is on the line from Northern California. She's been listening for about a month. Found us when iTunes did that great feature on us, the scary story section in October, and featured us up front and center on the front page there. So we really, really appreciate that. So thank you, Apple, and thank you, iTunes, and all the fine people who work over there. Now, Alicia's mom or her family owns a mortuary. And she's going to tell us about a strange experience that her mother had. Alicia, welcome to the program. I can't wait to hear this. Please tell us what happened.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me. Okay, so it was a few years ago. I can't remember how long ago, but like you said, my family owns a mortuary. And so you would probably expect that we would have, you know, like a few visitors here and there, maybe some who like to stay a while. And let's see, my mother, on her side of the family, we sort of have a psychic lineage, but it's been diluted per se as, you know, the generations go on. But she's still sensitive to, like paranormal or spiritual things around her. So a few years ago when my dad had a case, he had a case. And, you know, one night our dog, he has this incessant barking problem. And so he did it in the middle of the night, cause he was wanting out. And so my mom, she got up from bed and, you know, started walking down the hallway when she sees this, tall white apparition of a man. And it surprised her at first. She was just like, you know, what's going on? But, you know, as soon as she realized what it was, she got this sense of peace, like just flowing through her. And she felt that it was, you know, a spirit that inhabited a body that my father took care of, and, you know, saying thank you for the funeral and the, and, you know, being taken care of. And so she was a little confused, but she was, she was confused, but she was, you know, she was kind of happy, I guess,
right,
you could say. And you know, the next day she told me about it, and I was like, mm-hmm. Whoa, that's
yeah.
Cool. Cause I've always loved the paranormal. And so we talked to my dad about it, and we, you know, we were like, did you take care of a man who was, you know, tall, thin, just recently? And he was like, yeah, we did. And we were like, oh my gosh, that's him.
Oh my.
So, yeah. And it was just, it was, I guess, For my mom telling me it was really cool, because I've always wanted like an experience like that. But, you know, she's very sensitive to those things around her. And it's just a really cool thing.
Now, the thing's interesting. In your email, you said that one might assume a lot of stuff happens at a mortuary, but that's
right.
Not been your guys' experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, we haven't had, you know, like any terrible things like take place or things moving or breaking or whatever. But because we've had one woman who was a medium, I believe, and she was just telling my dad, she was like, this place is crowded, like too many people in here, and you know, but there's like hardly anyone in the mortuary. So obviously she's talking about spirits. And so, but we were also told by another medium who happened to come across, she was like, oh no, they're all very friendly. So we have them in the mortuary, in our house. And cause I've seen things like from the corners of my eyes, like darting out, and I've heard some things, but nothing too freaky, I guess.
Well, it's very interesting. Thank you so much, Alicia, for sharing your perspective and sharing your story today on The Campfire.
Thank you, Jim.
Next up on The Campfire is Ryan. You may remember him, a caller from South Carolina. He was on a few weeks ago and had a very powerful story for us about his own paranormal experiences. And now he has some more powerful tales for us. And we're glad to have him back. Ryan, thank you for coming back. I know many people were very interested in your story, and I think they're going to be even more interested possibly in this one. Please tell us what happened.
Okay, Jim, first thing I'm going to start off with, when I was at the age of 17, I started having paranormal experiences. I would bond with spirits. The worst thing that really started with me, I would see my friends die. I would know how they were going to die. I would warn them. And when you're 17 years old, Jim, you don't know how to deal with that.
So they would die? Oh, my.
Yes, sir. I need to tell you one story before I get into this. The first real one that I had, I was going to college when I turned 18. My best friend name was Rocky. He was already at college. We were going to room together and play mm-hmm. baseball, mm-hmm. and we hung out together on the weekends, and I went over to his house one day, and he was sitting in the yard with a guy, and the guy turned around, and I saw death. I freaked. I got out of the car, and I said, Rock, listen, man, I don't feel good today. You need to understand, I'm going home. Call me next Sunday. Well, he called me next Sunday at 12:30. I was at my house. He said, Ryan, come on. Me and you and such are going out. And I'm like, Rocky, I can't. I said, you need to listen to me. That boy has death around him. I can't explain it to you, Rock. Don't go out with him.
Wow.
And Rock's, he was everything any man wanted to be. Baseball player, strong and everything. And he said, well, listen, if you feel that strong about it today, I'll go out with him, but I won't know more. And next week we'll go out together. And I said, okay. That was at 12:30.
Right.
At 4 o'clock, my phone rang, Jim, and it was a girl I dated. And she said, Ryan, aren't you friends with Rocky? I said, yeah, I'm rooming with him in college next year. She said, listen, I need to talk to you. He got in a wreck and he's dead.
Oh, God.
Those things you never forget. So every day when I close my eyes to the people that I know, I literally say, I'm sorry. I didn't know how to stop your faith when I knew it and I warned you. So please remember that as this story goes. I want to go to when I'm 28 years old. Me and my father are running a farm, Jim, and right. We went hunting that night. And I left, and when I was leaving, my daddy looked at me, and he said, listen, son, he said, I want you to know I love you. And I kind of looked at him because me and my father didn't have that, I guess, what would you say, that
close kind relationship?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we were two hunters, Jim, you know what I mean? And that was the kind of life we lived in.
Yeah, like men's men.
Yeah, men's men. That's what they said my daddy was. So that night I went to work, I bounced to the bar, and I came home, and I woke up the next morning at 6 o'clock with the worst pain in my back as if somebody had took a knife and cut through me. I fell off the bed. I couldn't get up. And I said, I got to get up, and I crawled over from my bed to my shower and pulled myself up, and all of a sudden, Jim, the pain stopped.
Hmm.
I said, well, I'm going to get in the shower, and I cut the shower on, and all of a sudden, I started crying, and I had a vision. I said, something's wrong at my mom and daddy's house.
Oh, boy.
It just told me. I grabbed my clothes. I drove to my parents' house, which was 5 minutes away. When I got there, there was police in the yard. There were TV stations there. People were out at the road. My mom's in the yard saying, Ryan, your daddy thought it was you, but somebody heard him. I didn't know what he did. I went running across the field, and when I got to the field, there was a sheet, and my cousin grabbed me, and he said, your daddy was murdered.
Oh, my Lord.
And at that time, Jim, I knew. I felt the bullet. I felt him struggle. And I felt him pass. And I want to get away from that. But what I need everybody in this story to understand about why I'm telling you this, that after that murder, the next 6 months of my life was filled with this. And a lot of people don't know it. The police doing stuff. I had a hit took out on me.
Oh, my.
I was actually shot at. The people who murdered my father, and this is one of the strangest things I've ever had, went to what you would call, you would know more about this, a person that practices witchcraft and voodoo, and paid this person a few thousand dollars to have me killed.
Wow.
Now, I really, Jim, can't tell people what to believe, but I can tell you this, and it's like I've told you, everything I've told you, I took a polygraph test. I woke up in the middle of the night being choked unconscious, but nothing was there.
Oh, boy.
I woke up, and I was gagging. I was trying to breathe. I reached over and cut a light on. There was nothing on top of me, and I broke whatever was around my neck. I went and looked in the bathroom window, I mean the mirror, and I could see prints of where something had choked me. I can't explain it. That's all I can say. And I need to tell you this as I go into this story here, because a year later, I'm married, I've got a kid, everything's going good, and I start getting sick. The doctors work on me for probably 6 months, and they find out that I have been poisoned at work spraying pesticides, and it's about to kill me.
Oh, my.
I'm really sick. I go to a clinic down in Charleston, South Carolina. The doctor looks at me and my mom, and he said, listen, I'll treat him, but you need to understand, your son's liver shut down. I don't think he's going to make it, but I will treat him. But you've got to sign a waiver that if he passes here, I'm not responsible. And at that time, Jim, I'm 28 years old. I got a new kid. I ain't planning on dying. You know what I mean, sir? Told him, I said, sir, I'm not going to die. So he treats me the first month, and I get worse. The second month, he usually doesn't let people be treated, but I just told him, I said, I've got nothing to lose. I need to be treated. And after the second week of the second month, I looked up at God, and I said, it's time for me to die. I said, I can't fight this no more. I'm hurting so bad. I told my mama that. I gave up, Jim. I did. I prayed to God. I said, I've hurt so much. I can't take it. Please just take me away. And the doctor met with me and told me, he said, you really need to just go home. He said, the medicine, which I didn't take any medicine like hydrocodone. There was nothing like that. He said, my treatment is hurting you. I couldn't take aspirin or nothing. There was nothing I could take because of my liver. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I said, sir, you don't understand it, but I'm already dead. And I said, I'm going home to die. So I left and I drove home. And to the gentleman I told you about earlier, Rocky, on the way home, I looked up and I said, Rocky, I said, listen, man, I need you to come to me. I'm dying and I'm worried. I need you to help me transition over to the next place. I said, I'm really worried. And I went home, laid on the couch, my eyes wide open. And all of a sudden I had a vision, and the vision was this. I was over the earth looking down, and Rocky walked up beside me, and I said, thank God, man, you're here. I said, tell me about heaven. And he looked at me. He says, Ryan, it's not your time. Your biggest fight's fixing to come. And I'm like, no. I said, you don't understand. I can't fight anymore. And he said, look across the earth. And when I looked across the earth, he was standing beside me, and I could see these beams of light coming up.
Wow.
And I said, what is that? He said, Ryan, that's people that need us. You don't need us. And I turned around and was gone. And at that moment, I mean, my eyes were wide open. I yelled, I just want to die. Please take me, God. And I got up and I went into my bedroom and I fell down on the bed face first and just laid there. As soon as I hit the bed, the temperature in my room dropped way below freezing.
Oh, my.
And I'm laying there and I didn't even have to wonder or look. And I know, people, this is hard to believe. I turned around at the foot of my bed. It was about 6'4". And it was a Reaper. It was a black coat with no face. It had no arms in the sleeves to the right of it. It had a staff, and the hands were out across my bed as if it wanted me to come or if it was going to tote me. I looked, Jim. I blinked my eyes. I turned my head the other way. And this thing is sitting here looking at me, and I'm freezing. I'm shaking. After about a minute, I said, this is real. You know, this isn't your eyes, or this is something really going on here. And I brought my legs up. I turned around, and I slid up to the top of the bed. And when I slid up to the top of the bed, I brought my legs up under my chin, and I put my arms around my legs, and I kind of shook myself trying to stay warm because it was so cold. And this was in broad daylight. This was not at night or nothing. And I continued looking at this thing, and like I said, there was no face. There was nothing in the arms, but it stood there. And after 5 minutes, I'm sitting here like, what am I going to do? Am I dying? Is this where I'm going? I'm not going to heaven. Whatever you believe in, when you're looking at death and the thing that you would not want to happen most is staring at you, you don't know what to do.
Sure.
And within 2 minutes, my life started flashing in front of my eyes. I started seeing things that I did as a kid. I started seeing things my family did. I saw things, just things that were happy. And all of a sudden, Jim, I started seeing the things that have happened in my life paranormal. I started seeing the ability that I had to run a spirit out of my house. I remembered what it was like being choked unconscious by something wasn't there. I remembered warning my friends don't do this or you're going to die, and having people die. I remember feeling the bullet that killed my daddy, and I looked over at the Reaper, and all of a sudden I just said, who do you think you are? If you think you're going to come in here and you're going to take me, I'm not going. As God is my witness, I will fight you till my last breath. This is not the way my life will end. I'm not going to let you come here. Do you realize the things I have been through? I've been sick for over a year, and if you think you're going to march in here and try to take me out, I'm not going. And in an instant, Jim, I was pulled from the top of my bed to the end of my bed, and when I stood up, I was with an inch of it. I was pulled off that bed with so much force, sir, that the fitted sheets flew off that bed. When I came off the bed, all the sheets come off the bed behind me, and I was face to face with it, and I said, if God is my witness, I will choke you out. I put my hands around the neck, and when I did, it burnt me, and it dissipated.
Oh, my.
All of a sudden, the room went from being freezing to my clothes were matted to me because I was so soaked. It was like somebody poured 10 gallons of hot water on me, and I'm sitting there looking up at God like, what have I just seen? You know, what have I, you know, is this over? Is this not over? And I walked through the house, and I'm looking, because I don't know. There's no book on what do you do next. And I sit in the house till dark in my chair, and I'm like, now when I go to bed, am I going to die? Or is this took care of? And I waited for dark, sir, and went, laid into my bed, fell asleep, and woke up the next morning to a phone call of a friend of mine that I had known like 3 years before and had not talked to her. And she called me. She was crying. She says, Ryan, are you okay? I said, yeah. How did you get my number? She said, I called such and such. She said, I dreamed you died last night. And I'm like,
wow.
What? She said, Ryan, yes, sir. She said, I dreamed that I was over your bed and I watched you die. And I looked at her and I said, I'm okay. I said, I'm fine. And I haven't talked to her since, Jim. It was that profound to her. I hung the phone up. The phone rang. I had a friend that I hadn't seen in like 3 years, a close male friend. His wife called me. She says, Ryan, I need to ask you something. She said, Jimmy woke up last night. He said you died. Now, at this moment, Jim, I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. Was this broadcasted on TV? You know, I mean, seriously, sir, people are calling me saying this. I told the lady, I said, no, I'm fine. She said, he woke up in the middle of the night and said, Ryan just died. So, that's the way it went. There's other things I could tell you about. A psychic came in my house because she didn't believe me. And when she went in that bedroom, she ran out. She asked me who died in the room. I just looked at her and smiled because I said, she knows what she's talking about, you know? So Jim, that's, I guess if you want to name this, what's the old saying, sir? Don't ask for something because you just might get it.
Well, I was going to ask you this, having these kind of sensibilities and abilities, is it something if you could just wish it away, you would?
No, sir. No, sir. It is something that comes on to you, and when it comes on to you, it will eat you alive. I have another story, and I will give you a clue to it, how it took over to me. I had a close friend who had become pregnant. And I had visions for a week, sir, that she would not make it. And she died.
Oh.
And if you ever have that happen to you, that you want to go tell someone that they're going to die during childbirth, and that happens, I even told my mom about that. So, no, when these things happen, I don't have to know you. I can read you. It happens to friends. It happens to people I don't like, but I can't cut them off, and they consume me. It's like writing a song or like you writing a book, sir. You know what I mean? When you start it, you want to finish it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
When these things come, when it comes across and you see it, and when they come across, I know what's going on. There's no hoping or guessing. I know what's coming up.
Well, Ryan, I'll tell you, they're amazing stories. Please stay in touch and tell us other things as they come along or other things that have happened. And we thank you for being so generous with your time and telling us your experiences on the campfire.
I thank you much, Jim. You take care, sir.
Are you one of those campfire listeners who say, boy, I wish I could get all of the great campfire stories from all of the years, and I can't wait till the next campfire comes out, but I've got to wait? Well, if you're not a member of the Paranormal Plus Club, there is a ton of access that you can get to past campfire stories, plus all of my other exclusive podcasts, The Cryptid Report, Ghost Insight, UFO Encounters. The list goes on and on. But you've got to become a member over at jimherold.net, and there's a big sale coming up, Black Friday. Black Friday, go over to the site about midnight Eastern time, and you'll see a banner at the top of the page, and we're going to do this. We're going to give big discounts for either your first year or your first month of membership. If you join for a month, you'll get $4 off your first month, and you'll be able to get a month of the Paranormal Plus Club for only $3.95. Then it will renew at full price the following month. And of course, you have a coupon code we'll have there that you can use. And then for the second piece, if you want to sign up for a year, you'll get $30 off your first year. And that puts it down to only $49.50 for a year. I think that's a pretty good deal. Second year, it will renew at full price. So just want to be clear on that. First month, first year, you get this great discount. Second year, second month, it renews at full price. Just so everybody's clear. And you got to use the coupon codes, folks, because if you don't put in that coupon code and hit the add button to make sure it works, you don't get the discount. So please do check it out on Black Friday, midnight Eastern time. Navigate over to jimherold.net and you will be able to sign up and get the deal. I think that you'll enjoy it. And it's a great time to try it because there's not a lot of risk. Hey, $3.95, that's cheaper than the price of a fancy coffee. So I think that I think you'll enjoy it. So check it out at jimherold.net. We're not putting it up on Thanksgiving because I don't want people taking away from their family time for Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is a time for family. Black Friday is a time for shopping. So along with the spirit, that's what we're going to do. So check it out midnight at Black Friday. 12 midnight Eastern time, we'll have those discounts up, and they will go through Black Friday and the Black Friday weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, through the Cyber Monday holiday. So please do check it out, and I hope that you can take advantage of the Paranormal Plus Club Black Friday sale at jimherold.net. Next up is Tennille from Georgia. She's a Plus Club member. She's been listening for about a year, found us right after Halloween on iTunes. We're ever so grateful for her support and for her listening. And now she has a story. It's interesting. It's about a dream, and it's somewhat similar to a story that one of our other callers way back had, and we're so glad to have her on the show today. So, Tennille, tell us what happened, and thanks for your support.
Hi, Jim. Of course. My pleasure being here. So this happened several years ago. It was either 2001 or 2002. I had a five-year-old daughter, and I was living with my boyfriend. And one day, coming home from work, picked up my daughter from daycare, my boyfriend called and said that he would be late coming home. He was going to stop by his parents' house out of the country, and they had a cat and a dog, so he was going to go take care of the animals. And, you know, I thought nothing of it. And so got home, and I decided to lay across the bed, and I put my daughter to sleep to take a nap. And so I went to sleep, and I had a dream. And the dream basically was, it looked like I was coming out of a club, like a nightclub or a bar.
Uh-huh.
It was night. Yeah, and it was dark, and it looked like it had just rained. You know, like when it's hot outside and it starts raining and you get that steam coming up from the ground, that kind
yeah.
of. Yeah. So I saw that, and I'm walking through the parking lot, and I'm behind a group of people, and they're laughing, and they're joking, and they look like they're having a good time. They're walking, I guess, towards a car. And so as I'm walking behind them, I noticed that one of the men is my boyfriend. And one of the other people is his ex-girlfriend, and they look like they're on a double date, just having a grand old time. So I get very angry, and I'm yelling, I'm cussing, I'm kicking at them, I'm trying to fight, and no one's paying any attention to me. It's like they can't see me. They don't hear me. They don't interact with me or anything. It's like I'm kicking and I'm kicking through them. So they continue on to a car and they get in the car and they start to drive off. And I'm screaming and I'm crying. And then all of a sudden I wake up. And I open my eyes and now it's dark in the bedroom. And I look over at the alarm system keypad and I see it's still red. So I know he hasn't come home yet. And so I just had that relief of, oh, gosh, I'm so glad that was just a dream.
Right.
And so I turn over and I lay back down and I close my eyes. And it couldn't have been more than a minute. I hear a voice in my right ear and it says, get up and go see.
Huh.
And it was like I could feel the bite, like it was so close to my ear. It's like someone whispering in your ear. And it startled me so badly that I jumped up, like across the room. I jumped up so fast. I turned on the light, and I looked in the, you know, where the voice came from, and there's nothing there. The room isn't big enough for anyone to run anywhere or hide anywhere. I look under the bed, and my heart is racing, and I'm freaking out. And obviously, I know no one's in the house because I just looked at the alarm, and I saw it was still armed.
Right.
So, I just was standing there frozen, and then I thought, I need to get up and go see. Like, was this something really that's happening? So I grabbed my daughter. We go outside. She was still asleep. I had her wrapped up in her comforter that was on her bed. We go outside, and when I exit the house, I noticed that it had rained, and it was still, like, spitting rain. You know, it was just drizzling.
Right.
So we get in the car. We drive to his parents' home, which is about 15 or 20 minutes away. And they live in a gated community. And so there's really only one way in and one way out. We pull in, pull into the driveway, and lo and behold, his car is there. And so is his ex-girlfriend's car.
Oh, the plot thickens.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So I left my daughter in the car. She was still sleeping. I walk up to the front door. I'm looking in the window like a crazy person, and I don't see anything. I just see, like, the light over the kitchen sink. That's the only light that's on in the house. There's no movement. There's no noise. I'm calling the landline phone. I hear the telephone ringing. I don't see any movement or hear anything. So I decide to call his cell phone, and it kept going straight to voicemail. And so I must have called 10 times. So I'm standing on the front porch, I am just getting so enraged. I'm so angry. So eventually I'm just waiting. Nothing's happening. I go back to the car. I sit in the car. And I'm just sitting there waiting, knowing that there's going to be a confrontation and thinking, you know, where am I going to get bail money? Who's going to watch my daughter? I mean, I just knew this was going to be a horrible, horrible, you know, confrontation. And looking back, obviously that wasn't the right thing to do. But at the time, I was just so angry. I just
right.
wanted them to know that I knew what was going on. So it seemed like I waited for a long time. I couldn't tell you how long I sat there. Finally, I said, okay, well, I'll just have to get him when he gets home. So I leave the subdivision. And as I'm leaving, I'm looking at cars that are coming in because I want to see if I can find out what car he's in. And I actually, no cars passed by. I was looking for it. So I leave, turn out of the subdivision. And when I turned out, I couldn't have gotten more than a mile before he called me on my cell phone.
Right.
And I asked him where he was. And he said he just got dropped off. He was in his car. He was on his way home, and that he hung out with a friend, a buddy, he said.
Yeah.
And he was on his way home. And I said, well, did you and Kim have fun tonight? And it was just quiet, just crickets. He, not one word. he asked me what I was talking about, and then I explained to him, hey, I just left your parents' house, and I know you were with her. And so I hung up on him, and I drove home. And I get home, I pull into the driveway, and he literally pulled up right behind me in his car. And I couldn't figure out, how did he get here so fast? How did he catch up with me that – there's no way he could have caught up with me that fast. So basically, the end of the story is basically he wind up telling me the truth. He was with his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, and they were like on a double date. I never told him my reasoning of why I went to his parents' home. I never told him about the dream ever to this day. And I guess my thought as I was thinking about it is I really feel like it was meant for me to go and see what was happening. But it was also meant for me, like, the timing, because I should have passed them coming out of the subdivision. So it's kind of like I was meant to see them and figure out what was happening, but the confrontation wasn't meant to be. You see what I'm saying? I feel
right.
like something
right.
was protecting me where I couldn't confront them how I wanted to, because honestly, that wouldn't have been good for any of us. So I think it was something higher than me letting me know, calling out how this guy, like who he really was, but protecting me from getting in trouble with the law or, you know, getting beat up or whatever would have happened. But I just feel like that was meant to happen.
Well, it's one of those things, and I've got to say, you wonder if there's someone or something out there looking out for us, protecting us. Have you developed any theories over the years?
Absolutely. This is not the only time something like that has happened to me. Especially with significant others, boyfriends or fiancés or anything like that, I get some dreams show me things, and then it turns out to be true later. So I definitely believe, I don't know if it's a relative, if it's a guardian angel or something telling me, trying to look out for me, basically. I totally believe that.
Yeah, it's really, really, really a fascinating story. Well, Tennille, thank you for sharing your story. I loved it. I'm glad that it sounds like you got out of that relationship none too soon.
Yes.
And I'm so glad things worked out for you. And thank you for listening and for all of your support.
Thank you, Jim.
Dan is on the line from Pennsylvania. He's been listening for about a year, found us over on iTunes around this time of the year. They're always very kind and spotlight us, and I'm assuming that's where he found us then. And he has some experiences he wanted to tell us about that happened in the house that he grew up in. Dan, welcome to the show, and tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. Well, it kind of all started, I want to keep this as short as possible. It all started around middle school time, about sixth, seventh grade. The first experience I had was, I do believe, this summer between sixth and seventh grade. I woke up in the middle of the night and I went to go to the bathroom. And whenever you exit my bedroom, there's a short little hallway, then it enters my kitchen. So I was in the very back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
It was all dark. The only thing, like, the kitchen was lit up by the moon, so it was very, you know, shadowy, dark. So I went to leave my bedroom, and I saw a very tall, about 6'5", very thin, like, shadow figure wearing a top hat enter my kitchen from my living room and then just disappear.
Yeah.
So I decided at that point, I'm just going to go back to sleep. I'm not going to bother going to the bathroom. I'm just going back to sleep. Now, the next morning, I talked to my mom about it, and that's when she told me about who she called the man in the hat. She was watching a movie one night, and she said the refrigerator door had opened by itself, and her and her husband saw a shadow on the wall from the light in the refrigerator of a man wearing a hat. I just assumed it was a man from my experience because there were no, like, definitive features suggesting it was a woman. I just kind of assumed it was a man. Now the second experience, and it was the most physical, to be honest, was probably seventh grade, because I remember going the next day to school and telling my English teacher about it. I woke up again in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I went to the bathroom, came back in my room, and I laid down, and for some reason, at that point in my life, I listened to music whenever I went to sleep. It had to be pitch black, and I was listening to music. I remember it vividly because I put the CD that I was listening to on track 6, which was Down With The Sickness by Disturbed, because I was a rock fan back then.
Right.
And I rolled over, and just as I was closing my eyes, I heard a loud bang. And I rolled over, jumped up off the couch that I had in my room, and I turned on the light and my TV. It looked as if someone had stood behind the TV and just shoved it across the room. Now, the TV was up against the wall, so even if, you know, if it had fallen, it would have been much closer to the entertainment center, not further out. It was almost to my table.
Wow.
So it was pretty far across the room. And the I got up and I ran out the door and I told my mom, and she said, "I didn't hear anything. Why are you so awake?" And I said, "Listen, my TV, you know, flew off the stand. I need,
wow,
you know, can you come help me?" And it wasn't a very big TV, but it wasn't a very, it was a TV VCR combo.
Yeah, but even those tube TVs, even the little ones were kind of heavy.
Yeah, like they weren't really that light. So they had all that stuff in the back of it. So, I mean, it's not really hard to just throw one of those TVs, or not really that easy to throw a TV across the room. But we checked everything. The TV worked perfectly fine. The cable box, it was a dish, it was like a Dish Network or DirecTV type cable box. So it had like one of those satellite receiving chips in it.
Right.
The only thing that was wrong, the box was in fine condition. Like, it even landed in a basket of clothes. So it didn't have really like a hard fall. It just kind of landed softly in clothes. The thing that struck me as odd, though, after, because that was what stemmed my love for paranormal and all of that stuff. That is like the very first experiences I've ever had. So that kind of stemmed why I, you know, my love of the paranormal and how I like get all excited about it. Because it doesn't scare me very much. It just kind of fascinates me. But anyway, what I found was odd, that the chip inside of the cable box was fried.
Huh.
So I thought, well, it couldn't have been something, you know, that's not natural. It's not natural for that to just fry because, you know, whatever. So I did a lot of research and finding out that spirits or entities have to, like, pull so much energy from something to manifest themselves in a particular way. I thought maybe that had been the cause. That seemed to, you know, kind of fit with the situation that I was in. And, I mean, the other possibility would be, like, because it was unplugged, it did come unplugged. So maybe it being pulled out of the socket so fast that it kind of sent an electrical surge through it. And, you know, but I'm not an electrician, so I can't say for sure. But we ordered a new chip, and it worked perfectly fine. There was nothing else wrong. There was nothing wrong with the TV. Huh. It just seemed to fly off the stand. And then the last one, it was around, I think, the summer between 9th and 10th grade. And I had a friend staying over, and we were watching Roseanne on my TV in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Different TV, different cable box. But on the outside of my door in the hallway and in the kitchen, they were linoleum floors. So you could hear clear footprints or footsteps on the floors no matter what. Well, it was really, really late at night. We were kind of pulling an all-nighter. My mom was asleep. My sister wasn't home. My uncle wasn't home. It was just us that were awake. And over the television show, I could hear something. So I muted the TV and I said, "Hey, listen, be quiet for a second." And it was quiet. And then you could hear very distinct, very vivid boot steps. It sounded like someone was wearing a pair of work boots. Walking outside of my door, you hear the heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, very distinct. And they were walking up to my bedroom door, which is terrifying in and of itself.
Sure.
So I as a paranoid kid, I always kept a weapon of some sort in my bedroom. So I grabbed, it was a knife at the time. I grabbed the knife and I stood at the door and I told my friend, I said, listen, I'm going to open this door and whoever out there is getting stabbed. Because I thought, at that point, I thought, oh my God, someone broke into my house. So I swung the door open, nobody. There was nothing but darkness. So I went out, nothing. There was all the windows, doors were closed and locked. My dog was sitting in the living room, happily wagging her tail whenever I walked out there. There was nobody else around. I checked my basement, and it was just absolutely nothing. Yeah, they just kind of materialized out of nowhere. Just random footsteps.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. So what do you think was behind all of this?
I honestly don't know. The house was owned by an old Greek lady, a very, very, very nice old Greek lady. She didn't give us any history of the house. I was really young whenever we lived there, so I never really kind of gave it a second thought. I've tried looking up the history of the house, and honestly, I cannot find a single thing.
Okay.
I can't find when it was built. I have no idea who the previous owner or previous tenant was. There's honestly just like no information I could find out about this house, which is kind of odd. But after that, every house that I've almost every house I've lived in, I've had, some sort of activity in. So I do believe, like the house I lived in, I called in before and told you about the baby doll.
Right.
That was the last house that I had experiences in, and that was last year.
So do you
every
think
every year up to that, it was always some sort of activity, which I don't mind at all.
Do you think that maybe, I don't want to say that you're haunted, but you're more sensitive to this kind of thing, and maybe some of this stuff follows you around a little bit?
Honestly, I am beginning to believe so. The apartment that I'm in now hasn't really, I haven't had anything yet. But sometimes in the houses, it takes quite a while before it starts to manifest itself. I lived in a house close to where I grew up, and nothing happened for the first year and a half that I lived there. But after that, it was like every day something was happening. And none of it's ever been, violent or malevolent. It's always been just, kind of passive and resident or residual. Like
right.
It's never been anything violent or scary. It's just been kind of, oh, hey, I'm here.
Well, I'll tell you, Dan, those are some stories. And please keep us up to date if anything else happens. And I appreciate you coming on the campfire and sharing your stories.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift for that special paranormal person in your life? Check out Jim's series of 5 best-selling campfire books, available in paperback and on Kindle. The books can be read in any order, and each is chock-full of spooky stories. Don't forget the True Ghost Story adult coloring book based on the campfire. They're perfect stocking stuffers, too. Get all the books at Amazon.com. Stay spooky, and happy holidays.
Next up on the show is Mackenzie from Illinois. Her and her boyfriend enjoy listening to the show. They've been tuning in for about 6 months, found us on the podcasts app. So thank you, Apple. And she has a story about Toby. So Mackenzie, welcome and tell us about this Toby.
Thank you, Jim, for having me. So Toby is a little spirit that I encounter living in college with my roommates. I lived in a duplex with 7 other girls, and I kind of had a little bit of introduction to Toby before I moved in because my roommates before I moved in said, there's just something really weird about this apartment. We really don't know what it is. It's never been threatening. It's just a lot of unexplained things. So I kind of have a little like tiny stories that go along with Toby that kind of explain who he is. And he kind of is like a prankster ghost. So I felt like he was really playing tricks on us in the apartment. So a few of my favorite stories I kind of picked out for the show today was one of the times when we all decided to go out of town. And the weird thing I forgot to say also is that these things would only happen when it was about 2 maybe three at the most people left in the apartment.
Interesting.
So he didn't like a show or an audience.
He liked a small, intimate group.
Yeah, he liked a very small crowd. So we had left for the weekend, and one of my roommates was staying there. You know, we all had gone home, and we received a text because we obviously powered down our apartment before we leave. All the lights had been out. We turned off the electrical strips, you know, to save power. We're all broke in college. So she texted us and said, hey, you know, I was cleaning the other side of the apartment, and all of a sudden a bunch of lights and the TV just turned on the other side. And she went over to look, and nothing was plugged in or anything, which was super bizarre.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, she was pretty freaked out. She was like, you know, I think I'm going to leave and head to the library for a couple of hours. So it was enough to spook her a little bit. The second story, which was even a little more bizarre, was a weekend when there was three people left in the apartment. On my side of the apartment, it was my roommate and her boyfriend. And on the other side, because it was a duplex, was just my other roommate, female, on the other side. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, my roommate, who was sleeping, and her boyfriend got woken up by a knock on the door. And they opened the door, and it was our other roommate. And she goes, you know, I think someone snuck in the apartment. I don't know what's going on, but the shower's on the other side. And, you know, her boyfriend at the time was like, okay, let's go check it out. All the doors are locked. We had thought someone maybe came in intoxicated or did something silly and turned on the shower. So he goes up into the bathroom and finds out that the shower is on. No one is in the shower. There's no one else in the apartment. All the doors are locked, and the steam is just must have been going for a while.
Wow, that's weird.
Very, very bizarre. I mean, it takes like physical force to pull out a handle to turn on a shower. So it wasn't an electrical thing. So that was bizarre. My own personal experience with Toby was when I was studying on the couch, and my roommate's like, okay, I'm taking off, going to the library. And my first thought is, crap. This stuff only happens when you're alone. So I'm a little freaked out, already on edge. But I'm like trying to calm myself down. Like, it's not a big deal. You know, it's all in my head. Because I find myself to be a little bit of a skeptic myself. Like, I didn't believe a lot of these stories for the longest time. And all of a sudden, a box just flew off the counter. I mean, completely no one else. There wasn't a window open. There was no explanation. It was enough to freak me out, where I had went on the porch and I waited for my roommate to come home. I just studied outside. I didn't want to be in the house anymore. So that was my personal experience. Now, I like to share the more funny, lighthearted ones because I never felt threatened by him.
Mm-hmm.
However, my one roommate, the only time she ever felt threatened was she had woken up in the dead of the night and felt this pressure on her chest. And my roommate is a total non-believer. I mean, she does not make this stuff up. And she said she saw a tall figure standing in front of the closet because our closet doors were open. They didn't have a door. And she said it wasn't human-like because it was so tall, because their ceilings were very tall. So that was very odd for her. And she's like, I must be dreaming. She, you know, rubbed her eyes. The figure did not move. And she felt as if she was being choked or as if she could not breathe. And I actually was just reminiscing this with her the other day because I knew I was going to be coming on the show. And I said, hey, remember that happened to you? And she shut down. I mean, she was like, I don't want to talk about it. It was really freaky. I can't explain it to this day. Very, very terrifying to her. So that was the only time I felt like it was threatening.
Mm-hmm.
The other times just felt kind of like a prank, you know?
Well, the thing now, is that do you think it was the same spirit? Do you think it was Toby, or do you think there might have been multiple spirits? Have you thought about that?
I actually, you know, when I was writing down my story about to come on the show, I was thinking about this, like maybe it was something else that was in the house, because I felt a lot of energy, and I never felt a negative energy, but my roommates report that they felt almost that Toby had left, and there was another energy that came in, because I used to see footsteps walking around at night when everyone was asleep. I mean, we tried to debunk this so many times, you know. It's possible. I think it could have been another more evil type of presence.
Well, I thank you so much for your call, and I'm glad that you and your boyfriend enjoyed. I don't know if you want to give him a shout out. You can certainly do so.
Oh yeah, it's Kevin.
Yeah, hi Kevin. Hi Kevin, and thank you, Mackenzie, and thank you both for listening to The Campfire.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for having me.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that show as much as I did. I thought it was a humdinger, as he used to say. And I hope that you'll tell a friend. You know, we had incredible download numbers in October, and they've continued to be strong through November. And I really think a lot of that, you know, the features on the various sites are fantastic, don't get me wrong. But I think it comes down to one person showing somebody, hey, check this out. You can listen to these shows for free, because we have a lot of free shows. So do me a favor, if you're at a Thanksgiving gathering and, you know, you're kind of waiting for the turkey to baste or whatever to cook. I'm not a cook, obviously. Just go in, and if you have a friend, family member who's into the spooky and they've got a smartphone, just say, let me show you something. Look at all this stuff you can listen to, and maybe even with their permission, subscribe them to the show. I think that they'll enjoy it, and I hope that you enjoyed it. And I hope that you have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. We will put a show out on Thanksgiving Day. We're going to edit it ahead of time and have it all set up so we can have our family time. So look for that. But I thank you so much. I hope you have a happy and healthy holiday season. And we'll talk to you on the campfire. We're thankful for you. Stay spooky.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.